The Word of God Endures. Hi, this is Carl Kosar from the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we come to the last in our series of studies, entitled, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet, the Bible for Today. To help us explore this important topic, I invited two of my colleagues to join me for the discussion, Dr. Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies, and Dr. Zdravko Stefanovic, also Professor of Biblical Studies at Walla Walla College. Gentlemen, welcome, and thank you for joining me for this last time we have together.
Glad to be here.
Good to be here, Carl.
The Word of God Endures. You know, when the famous Christian missionary, Dr. David Livingston, set out on his trek across Africa, he brought with him a small collection of medical and religious books that he felt were indispensable to the success of his work. Well, all in all, they say there were a total of some 73 books in three packs, weighing about 180 pounds. After 300 difficult miles, that pack became quite heavy, and it became very difficult to take all of them with him. So one by one, he began eliminating many of his prized books. As his library grew smaller and smaller, he only had one book left, one that he refused to throw away, and that was his Bible. That's made me wonder, if we had to make the same decision, if through some misfortune we had to throw out all our records and CDs and books, etc., we could only keep one. We choose to keep the Bible. In this, our final lesson, we consider, last of all, what it is about the Bible that has set it apart from any other work of literature this world has ever known, and why people like Dr. David Livingston would choose that book beyond anything else. Gentlemen, did Dr. Livingston choose the right book to keep? Should he have kept a different book? What do you think?
He was fortunate to have one to keep.
Yes, he was.
He was probably fascinated by its stories, and also he felt the way in which many of us feel, and that is when we read that book that God's Spirit speaks through that text to us.
Yes.
Yes, given all the things we talked about this last quarter, hope and joy and peace beyond, unlike any other book can give us.
It does. Absolutely.
You know, you look too over the centuries at the value that early Christians placed in Scripture. I mean, of course, this goes back also to the Old Testament as well. Who scribes who did the very difficult job of copying text word by word, page by page, difficult task. But they did it, I think, for one sole reason. They believed that by transmitting Scripture, they were making a difference because they knew that there was a power in God's Word. And that makes me think of us today. What are you and I doing? What are our families doing to preserve the Word of God for future generations? I mean, we're not scribes, are we? I mean, you know, we can go down and buy a copy, but do we have a role in preserving Scripture throughout time like scribes did? Do we have a role in making sure, and of course, God oversees everything, but in our human sense, do we have a role in making sure that the Word of God endures forever? What do you think?
I like the word endures here, because for something to endure, if the Bible endured purely in a physical sense and nobody read it, nobody lived it, nobody cared about it, but it was there, put it in a glass box in some museum somewhere, that's not enduring. For me, enduring means that this Bible message is loved and lived.
Mm. I think, for example, and perhaps our Dr. Stefanovic can help us here a little bit, but one of the famous discoveries they've made, we mentioned this a few lessons earlier, is the discovery of the Mari letters. Here we have some ancient texts that are not Hebrew texts that deal with some prophecy and so forth. They have endured, right? We have them today. But I really like your definition of what enduring is. Is it just that they exist in a museum someplace, or does it exist in the way people live their lives? That's a very powerful thought.
I thought it might be appropriate to read just a few verses from Isaiah chapter 40, starting with verse 6. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, our advantage is also our disadvantage.
What do you mean?
Because we have copies of the Bible in abundance today.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a danger that it becomes something so common that we no longer care about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that really stands in contrast to the past. When we think of people living centuries, maybe millennia ago, and if one household could own one verse of the Bible written on a piece of parchment or
be a treasure
copper,
possession.
It would be.
A very treasure possession. So, yeah, this is the blessing and the challenge, right? The Bible becomes so common that you can just download it if you want, and you don't treasure things that are common.
Yeah.
Very much of a challenge.
And when we consider how many books are published about the Bible every year.
Oh, my, yeah.
It's just tons and tons of books.
Yes, it is amazing. Now. What do you think, gentlemen? What is it about the Bible that sets it apart from other ancient religious texts? I mean, we have, you know, the Quran, for example, a religious text. Mm-hmm. What is it that makes the Bible different? What do you think?
I think that God's Spirit works in all places at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is truth in almost all cultures, in all literatures.
Because God is actively involved,
He's always reaching out, searching for people, and so on. It
takes us back to our first lesson.
The
Hound of Heaven,
who pursues
us. And
that's right.
It's not just in Western culture, but he's actually working in the Middle East, in Asia.
His influence is not limited to people having this book, because most people, if we counted all the population of this world as far back as we can, very few people actually had a Bible.
Mm.
That's right. But for me, the Bible is its message. The Word of God is not only the recorded message, the recorded words, so to speak. It's the message that has power to enlighten people about God in a way that I think very few, if any, other scriptures have done.
Mm.
And most people, with extremely few exceptions, have looked upon God as a fearful being. God is power.
Yes.
He is, if you step over the line, you will get retribution.
Yes.
What the Bible does is opens a window on God that you can't get from nature, you can't get, I think, from hardly any other traditions, that God is a God of love.
God is love, yes.
The basic story.
And this is not just fuzzy love.
No,
love imbued with justice and salvation and care and faithfulness and all those things.
And that basic story is so central to the Bible, and it's simple.
Yes.
That the Creator God, He's eternal, the most powerful being in the universe.
Yeah.
In order to save, in order to help, He denies Himself.
Yeah.
And He mingles with His creatures. He's vulnerable. They even hurt Him.
Yeah.
And He dies in order to save them. That's just a beautiful story.
Yeah. A God who loves our individuality and our individual integrity so much that instead of overpowering us, He joins us.
Interesting.
Lays down His life.
This
shares
up
our predicament.
A question, as I thought about this, and it may sound kind of shocking at first, but the Old Testament, right, is of importance to both Jews and Christians. So in some sense, both faith communities believe it's relevant for us today.
Yeah.
Yet Christians would argue that as the story of Jesus has recorded in the New Testament, that completes or fulfills the Old Testament. So in light of that, what is it about the birth and life of Jesus that's so significant?
Mm.
I mean, I think this is an important question, because sometimes I think we can be in danger of, we talk about how the Bible becomes so common that it's not valued, but at the same time, I think it also can become so hallowed that perhaps we miss what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it? I mean, because we do have the Old Testament scriptures, very important, but there's something about Jesus.
We like to call Him the living Word of God.
Mm.
We use the term sometimes incarnation, and that is the Word of God in flesh.
Yes.
And He is our example to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice. He's an illustration of what God's will is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I talk about Christ, sometimes I notice that one-sidedly people talk so much about His death on the cross, but I like to talk about His life, self-sacrificial life before His death.
Yes.
And they exemplified what God really wanted people to do.
We need it both as life, because our life is falls far short, but as death as well. I like to also talk about, and I find myself getting caught up with this too, is that also the resurrection, right? Yeah. I mean, we can talk about his life, we can talk about the death, but it means nothing without the resurrection. And in Scripture, I really believe, is the living Word of God. It is God incarnate. And and for me, I think that we face the danger of making the Bible almost a relic. And unless its message comes and transforms our lives, it doesn't really endure. And to me, that's an important topic.
I've just simply met too many people, and I've seen even my own life at periods where I knew all about Scripture, read Scripture, but it didn't change my life. And until it did, suddenly, that's when the Word of God became
the Word of God.
Became the Word of God. It changed things.
So we have talked about Christ's life, death, resurrection, everything in accordance with what is written in the Bible. If we could add one more aspect of it, and that is that Christ, he also is right now in the business of forgiving our sins. His Holy Spirit applies the result of Calvary upon our hearts, because he cares enough to make sure, or to be sure, that we'll be ready at the time when he comes.
Very powerful. You know, we've looked over these last 12 weeks, and this is our 13th week together, at the Word of God and the message and the meaning it has for us today. As you reflect back on that, what is it, what do you take? We talked about the Bible and all kinds of different, specifics and so forth. What is it for you that makes the Word of God something so special, the way it transformed your life? What, when you look at that, what is it that brings you hope when you talk about the Bible? What is it that excites you about the Bible? I mean, for me, I get caught up with the stories. The stories are because the stories of life transformation, and it offers me hope. Someone like Moses, who was the pinnacle, right? He was right there with God. Yet this was someone who killed someone. You tend to forget the past, but the extent of God's forgiveness. And to me, it's those stories in the Bible that excite me and give me hope. What is it for you about the Bible that brings you that joy, that excitement? I mean, we can go on and on. We have just a few minutes left here. But
I like its stories also, and I like parables. But that which moves me more than anything else is poetry.
Oh, really?
And like the prophet Isaiah, when he talks about God's salvation, he stops talking. He bursts into singing. And we have so many songs in the Bible that celebrate that kind of God and what he has done for the humanity. So I do appreciate stories and parables. I'm intrigued by them and so on. But the somehow poetry. being poetic soul, poetry moves me more than anything else.
For me, it is the witness of the New Testament. The faithful witness of the New Testament, because that was a turning point in my life.
Witness in what sense? You mean?
In the witness to Jesus.
Okay.
By faithful people. Without that witness, without that door that Jesus opened out of this life, I would not have.
Powerful. Gentlemen, thank you so much. And this is the encouraging part of our study this quarter, is the Word of God and the blessing it is to our lives centered ultimately in Jesus. So thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Susan and Michael, for your technical assistance, and you are faithful listeners for going with us on this journey this quarter. For Probe, I'm Carl Cosart.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.